is KCIM Sports Rewind for you here on this Tuesday. KC Miners joined with Jeff Blankman and Mason Nealon here in studio. First full week of the spring sports season got underway on Monday. You guys had your first track meet on Thursday last week?
Yeah, and what a difference in conditions between Thursday and Monday, let's just say that.
Well, I agree so too. I mean, yeah. Was Thursday and tonight should be pretty close to the same.
Yeah, yes. I enjoy last night much more than Thursday and tonight, let's say that.
You probably didn't have to walk around in layers of clothes.
Yeah, could have been in shorts and a T-shirt last night. And Audubon does. I was down at Audubon and Mason went up to Lake City. He probably was in shorts and a T-shirt. I know Jeff Storyhan and I were down in Audubon at that one until about a quarter till 8 or so, 8 o'clock when they wrapped up because they run such good meet that it didn't take very long to, you know, to get through that meet. But just what a beautiful night. And it was a little windy early. A little grease fire on the grill for a while that, you know, some people thought kind of stunk up the area just a little bit. Had some kids going, hey, can you help them get that grease fire out? It's kind of smoky over by where we're at. But, no, what a great night last night for track. And tonight's going to be miserable for everybody involved, the fans, certainly the athletes and the coaches. No matter how much they bundle up, it's still going to be miserable out there.
Is tonight just track, or do we officially get like golf and soccer and tennis?
Golf, not yet, but we got soccer and tennis on the schedule for tonight. Tennis might have a hard time just because, you know, if the wind's blowing 800 miles an hour,
serve that ball and it's going to go flying.
Yeah, whoever's hitting into the wind is certainly going to have. Whether it's either going to be an advantage or a disadvantage, because if, you know, you can hit it as hard as you can, probably just to get it across the net, and on the other side, you're going to have to just lightly touch it. Otherwise, it's going to sail long. So, yeah.
And we'll talk about the track that you guys got to see a little bit here, and then we'll talk about some other stuff throughout KCIM Sports Rewind. Do want to mention last time that we will be a half hour long. Officially next week, we will be moving to about 45 minutes.
Yep, so Mason and I will have to start getting in here a little earlier. I know he's really excited about that part of things, right? Morning,
sure,
Mason.
Sure.
He walked in at 9:29 this morning, right?
It was not 9:29. If you add like 2 minutes before that, we should be good. About 9:27 maybe.
Yeah. I used to, when I was in Mason's, I used to leave the house at like 9:20 and walk in a little right before the show started too.
Yeah,
so.
I know. Yeah, John and I texted you several times. Are you coming in today? I was just getting my phone out to text him when I heard the door behind me open into the studio. So, yeah, he still looks like he's sleeping. I don't know what he's going to do when he's got to get up early enough to be here by 9 o'clock.
I think he'll make it.
Just get here.
He won't remember it, but he'll get here.
Yeah, he won't remember the show at all.
No, you can ask me at 1 o'clock when I get back in, and I'll have no clue what we talked about.
Yeah.
You guys were able to go see track on Thursday. Yep. Yeah, it kind of opened up that spring sports season and everything like that. We was out at a track meet yesterday. What have you seen so far? The early portion, you know, especially with track getting underway.
I'm really happy with, you know, how things have gone for the teams that have competed so far. Last night we had 9 of our 11 area girls track teams compete between the meet in Lake City and the meet down at Audubon last night. And you know, Mason, for you, I think the one up in Lake City, you saw some teams and some girls that look like they're going to have some really, really good seasons.
Yeah, I mean, I look at the Glidden girls, and they did pretty good. Cassidy Wink did really good in the hundreds. I know Jenna Subert was right behind her in that as well. Maya Ridgely in that from South Central did pretty good. And then I kind of joked with Wendy Veit because she was standing there as the hundreds were going on for the boys, and I was like, what do you got coming up? And she goes, 400s open and 400 hurdles. And I asked her, I go, you know, how do you think you're going to do? And she goes, I don't know. This is my third time running the 400 and whatever, and just hurdles are kind of hurdles. And I go, you're a returning state qualifier, though, and did pretty good in the 400 hurdles, I remember. She's like, whatever. And so she ended up going first, I think, in both.
Yep.
So I'm like, well, that's pretty good. But I watched their shuttle hurdle. They did pretty good. But it was kind of a fun meet. You know, I got to talk to some of the kids and just kind of walk around. And I got there kind of right after the high jump was done and the long jump was done. So all that there was just the guys throwing events and a little bit of the girl throwing events and then just the running events.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of Wendy, she also won the long jump. So 3 titles for her, actually 4 last night because she was part of that shuttle hurdle that won for East Sac County. So runner up in a way last year for our girls, you know, track athlete of the year, off to a really good start in our reigning girls track athlete of the year, off to a good start. Tristan Gordon took second in the shot put and won the discus. Miranda Gertis, also from ESAC County, was the champion in the shot put and finished up second in the discus. So what I like about that is I think we're going to have a good battle between those two at a lot of track meets this year, because they'll see each other quite a bit.
Do you think any of the boys stand out so far for you? You know, we talked about a couple of the girls. Any of the boys stand out? I know they haven't ran a whole lot yet, but any of the boys stand out so far?
Mason, you were at the only meet that had boys last night. So.
Yeah. I mean, when I look at it here, I didn't get to see Landon run a whole ton. I got to see his 100-meter dash, but I wasn't there for the 200. Third in the 100-meter and first in the 200-meter dash. But I look at it and I say, you know, he's running pretty good. His brother had a pretty good running night, but someone I'm not surprised with having a pretty good running night was a lot of those ESAC boys. They're distance runners. I mean, yep, coming off of a great cross-country season. So they're going to have a pretty good season as well.
Well, and they showed their depth, too. What I liked is when you looked at it, is you had Riley Aragon, what, second in the 800-meter zone. Engel was, what, second in the 16, and then Landon Spohr second in the 3200. So you had three different guys from ESAC County all have a good night, in, you know, in a distance race. So anybody else, boys-wise, any of the throwers or anything jump out to you from last night?
Jace Peterson, I mean, he had a great night throwing, won both events.
Yep.
So, I mean, just starting off pretty good for him, and I think that's just kind of how he plans to be. And I joked with him because he throws in both events and wins both events, and then they throw him in the 4x2, and he doesn't do too bad in that one there. So, I mean, not a bad night for him either.
Yeah, absolutely. Wyatt Merka, I think, took third for him in the discus, so I think he's going to have a good year for him as well. You bounce back to last Thursday. We both know that Griffin Glenn's going to have a really good year in the high jump. Luol Thargiath, I think we're really excited, you know, after all the dunks that he did in basketball season this year, to see how that translates for him. You know, Dayton Wiederin's going to run the distance races really well for Carroll High, especially that 2 mile. I think we both think that the Kemper boys 4x800 really has a chance to do something pretty good this year.
Yeah, they were at state last year, and I think they were kind of dominant during the regular season last year, because we had to look at them a couple of times for kind of maybe athlete of the week type deals and stuff. But looking at it, I think, you know, they just lost Ryan Sundrup, so then they replaced him, and then they didn't really drop off. They still were able to do some pretty good things with that 4x8.
Yeah, ran a 901.91 with Hunter Tongius, Wyatt One, Joe Fletcher Bating, and Thomas Potamum. Carroll Boys Shuttle Hurdle looked really good with Lincoln Burke, Carson Tedrow, Michael Rowetter, and Landon Merla. Thomas Potamum ran well in the 400 meters. So I think we've got, you know, some kids on the Carroll and Kemper teams that we've gotten a chance just to see. Once Carson Tedrow, we kind of joked with Michael Rowetter yesterday. What did he say? That we can ask Carson anything we want about the 400 hurdles because he'll have all the answers. So,
but he's the best 400 runner, 400 hurdle runner in the state, and he says he enjoys them a lot. So,
yeah,
if Carson's listening or somebody that knows Carson, just ask him about the 400 hurdles.
Just ask him about the 400 hurdles. Yeah, I honestly think, too, that I think Carroll's depth in the sprints is going to really help them out this year. I think Kemper's might have more strength in the distance races, but I think that, you know, Carroll High's got a lot of sprinters, which should really, you know, help them out. So,
you joke about the 400 hurdles, and I don't think either of us could run a 400 hurdle.
No. No, I don't even know if I could run 400 meters, let alone, you know.
I don't even know if I can do 50.
Yeah.
Let's just say, I don't even know if I can do 50.
You know, I used to kid, you know Nathan Cones over there as our assistant, you know, when he was the assistant news director back when I used to run all the time. Like, I'm 50 and I could still beat you in a 100-meter dash, and he's like, you know, upper 20s or early 30s at the time. Honestly, as much as I run now, I don't think I could run 50 meters, let alone beat him in a 100-meter dash.
Well, so should we tell him that? We haven't had that conversation
around the office for a while. Then there's a reason I haven't brought it up, because I've gotten completely out of shape. But give me some time. Give me a year to get back in shape, and I think I'll still whoop him. We'll throw Nealand in it, too, so I can whoop him, too.
My problem wouldn't be the running thing. How are we going to get over a hurdle?
I'm not jumping any hurdles. I'm talking just a 100-meter dash.
But we said 400 hurdles. We don't think we could run it. We got to get over the hurdle first before we worry about the 400.
I'm not doing a 400 hurdle, because I guarantee you, even if I can run 400 meters, I can't jump over a hurdle.
And Jeff would go around it.
Yes, I would.
Don't you get DQ'd for that?
You do. Yeah. I'd probably crawl underneath it, still beat both of the guys, but I'd crawl underneath it.
I'm not jumping a hurdle, so.
But we don't want to forget the Carroll and Kemper girls as well from last Thursday. Elsa Tiefenthaler, kind of an interesting one. She was down at a college visit and stuff on Monday. Gets back, what, sometime Tuesday afternoon? And then, like, pretty much heads straight to the track and finishes second in the high jump. And I don't know, in the brief conversation we had with her, if she really had an opportunity to do any high jump practicing before, but went out and cleared 4.8. Willow Feld, I know in talking with Coach Namewood, I think he's got a really good feeling about that young lady in the future.
Yeah, and Willow, I mean, he talked a lot about her and kind of how she can fill in different spots for what they had last year, but he was kind of high on that whole freshman-sophomore duo that they yep. have going on there, because they've got girls that can fill the long distance, can fill relays, and can be kind of a sprinter as well. So they've kind of got the whole package when it comes to these younger classes coming through.
Yeah, and then you look at, I laugh, Addison Schoen, such a competitor, you love it. She takes second in both the discus and shot put, and I got a chance to talk with her afterward. She was not happy at all to finish in second place. So that's the competitor in her that, you know, she wants to go out and do better than that. You had a fun conversation and interview with Morgan Mashing, who did really well the other night.
Yeah, she did both the 100 and the long jump when we were there. Obviously won the long jump and took third in the 100-meter dash. And I think she was just more happy to go find some clothes and a blanket or something to stand in because it was freezing. But
yes.
I think she was also glad. She kind of joked with me. She's glad that they were running from north to south that day
right.
and not south to north, because it was miserable going up north.
Yeah, by the time we got to those races, it was so windy and cold. I think the wind chill was below freezing. It was 28 at the time. So, you know, we're pretty smart in the fact that when a kid finishes a race, it's like, go get your sweats back on, go get a blanket on, you know, go. We're not going to make you stand out here and talk to us for, 5-10 minutes, because even before they run, they're standing around, you know, in their uniform and stuff without their warm-ups on, and it can get pretty chilly, you know, in those kind of situations. Destiny Rizelman ran well for Carroll there, 4x200 with Macy Schaefer, Maggie Dirks, Macy Simulink, and Willow Feld did well. A lot of those same girls part of that shuttle hurdle. With Alexis Esquivel, Kendall Potthoff, Macy Schaefer, and Maggie Dirks there. And then Macy Simulink also did nice job in the long jump for them the other night. So I think the Tiger girls really have some depth. It'll be interesting with Kemper, I think, once they get everybody there, kind of how things progress for them.
Yeah, you just got to get everyone in the same area and get them all a week of practice or meeting a week of practice or something, because Elsa's got to kind of, I wouldn't say catch up, because with how good she is athletically, she's kind of almost already there anyway, but you know, you just got to get everyone together in the same room and just kind of ready to go.
Yeah, probably the one athlete that I've covered that probably is, you know, she's being recruited in 4 sports. I have a feeling if she'd have played softball in the summer, she'd be getting recruited in 5 sports, because I think with her athleticism, she would just be naturally good at softball. I don't know if she played any as a kid, but, you know, getting recruited to, you know, she's having her choice in college of what sport do I want to do, because all 4 of the sports that she's played through her high school career, she's got coaches reaching out to her at the next level.
Which is great. You want to see
it. Yeah, absolutely. So I don't think it'll take too terribly long for her to get the high jump, you know, and get into that, you know, jumping shape. So
I really thought we were going to go into the rant about that means kids should play more than one sport.
Well, you know, I do believe that. And a lot of that comes from the college coaches that I talk to. They're not wanting 1 and 2 sport athletes, you know, and stuff. They do want you to focus some on the one that you care the most about and try to get better. But, you know, I was trying to remember what college athlete I just talked to here recently that was being recruited. It was one of our college corner interviews that we did with a young person that was going to go on and play in college. And they're like, you know, the one thing that my college coach talked to me about was that I played multiple sports, and that's what they liked, because they said what the college coach told me is they know that I'm pretty good, you know, in everything, and I'm good in the sport that I focused on a little bit more, but they know they can get more out of me. They tell me that if I'd have played just that sport throughout my high school career, they would have felt like I probably would have reached my peak, and they couldn't have kept me growing very much at the college level. So just a note, you know, I hear that from college coaches all the time when I talk to them. So just a little note to, you know, mom and dad out there and you know, the kids that are, you know, trying to, wanting to go play college. The other thing that, you know, as you get me started on my rant, sorry. The other thing that's really disappointing is how many kids that are high-level athletes in the area that are burnt out by the time they're juniors or seniors in high school and don't want to go on and play at the next level, and the theme that I always hear. Well, Jeff, I've been doing this since I was in the fourth grade. I just don't love it anymore, and they're juniors in high school. You know, and you hate to see that because they've put so much time and so much energy into playing it as a young kid and all the traveling. But by the time that they can take it and go do something with it, they don't want that anymore, because the thing they always say is, I just want to go to college and be a kid, because I haven't been a kid because all I've done is traveled and, mm-hmm. and played sports. I think there's a place for travel sports, don't get me wrong. I think there's some benefits to it, but at the same time, I think we've got to temper some of the things that we're doing, because we're raising an entire generation of kids that are getting burnt out. So,
well, on that note, we'll step away and take a break. We'll be right back with more KCIM Sports Rewind here on KCIM.
As the athletes at your house prepare for hard work and fun of the season, remember that St. Anthony Rehab Services provides physical therapy for any sports injury that may sideline your member of the team. Sports injuries can plague kids of all ages and keep them from playing the sport they love. Athletes will be under the direct supervision of a certified and licensed healthcare professional in the newly renovated sports performance facility. If an injury is keeping your athlete out of the game, call St. Anthony Rehabilitation Services at 794-5000 for sports injury and treatment rehab.
We are back on KCIM Sports Rewind for you guys here on this Tuesday morning. Casey Miners joined with Jeff Blankman and Mason Nealon here again on this Tuesday. And guys, I know we haven't quite started golf and tennis and soccer yet, but that stuff getting started, most of it tonight. Golf is going to be wait a little bit, but, you know, expectations going forward for some of the teams we might see, you know, with golf and soccer and tennis and that stuff.
Kemper girls soccer team ranked 11th mm-hmm. to start the season. Those rankings just came out yesterday afternoon. So, you got what, Sierra Pudence, you said what, top 10 in the state in returning goal scorers?
She's 8th in the state in returning goal scorers with 30. So, I mean, we talked about it the other time when we talked about her record. If she puts up another 30-plus maybe even goal season here as a senior, that record's going to look real good on that board.
Yeah, it might be a long time before anybody breaks that record, absolutely. But I think we think the Carroll boys have got a chance to be really pretty good this year as well.
Yeah, I think that they're going to be really solid. You know, they just bring back a lot of pieces. It's not about anything that they've added. They've just gotten a year older because, I mean, the Polking boys have played since they were freshmen. Landon's been playing a couple of years now, but you're just getting the same kids, but just kind of doing it all over again.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting with tennis this spring. It's the first spring we don't have girls tennis because they played in the fall. So they played last spring and then did their season for this year in the fall. So we've just got the boys. I know the Kemper boys only have 5 out, so that's going to be fairly tough for them. That's not even a whole team. You need 6 to do it. They'll be able to play, but they're going to give up a loss in singles automatically in every single meet that they go to and match that they go to. So that'll be interesting. I know you had Audubon boys media day, and they're at 5 as well. So both of our boys tennis teams pretty low in numbers this year, so it'll be interesting to see how that plays out for them. And then we've got some great golfers. I think we talked a little bit about some of those guys in Gallus last week and stuff. So it won't be until next week that we get any golfers out on the course for a meet that actually counts. I think for some of them, they've been out. I think last week when I had Kemper media day, they had just finished cleaning up both the Muni and the National and getting them ready, meaning walking around picking up sticks and all that kind of stuff. So that day was going to be their first day, I think, getting out on the course to actually hit the ball on the course and kind of get started. So
it's crazy how that works, you know, with golf and everything. Because is it the fall where we're going to start be getting boys golf, or one of them too, as they move into the fall, or has that kind of been canned?
That's been canned. They had talked about doing that, but I think everything that didn't move the last little wave, I think, is either put on hold or not going to happen now. So I think we're going to stay with, you know, soccer, golf, track, and then boys tennis in the fall part of the year, in the spring part of the year, excuse me. So
yeah, one thing I do want to mention, I don't know if you guys saw this, but I saw this morning. Exira Elkhorn Kimbleton football moving to JV only.
Yep. They announced that midway through last week, I think it was. I knew that they've had some numbers issues. Mm-hmm. They were hoping to share with CAM and they thought that they would be able to stay eight-man in doing that because of the school numbers. From everything I kind of understand in conversations with people down there, and then it sounded like that would have ended up bumping Cam up to 11-man football. Yeah. Same thing with Audubon. If they'd have tried to share with Audubon, they would have been up to 11-man football. So they thought the Cam route might work, and then when they found out that it wasn't going to work. So sad to see that. We're getting more and more of those smaller schools. I know we've had Chris Cuellar on, and I'm going to try to get him on from the Boys Association. He does such an amazing job when he's on with us. I'm going to try and catch up with him. Maybe now that we start to go to the, you know, the 45 to 50-minute long show, we can get a guest on each week. But going to try to get him on and talk about it. I've always wondered, like Nebraska, I think South Dakota does it too. They do six-man.
South Dakota does nine. But they don't do six man. I know, but I know Texas and Nebraska and some of those states, especially when you got like dense populations, you know, out like on the west end of Nebraska,
out in the plains and then stuff and so. But it doesn't sound like that's ever really been an option to go to six man. So it'll be interesting to see these smaller schools that keep getting a little bit smaller. I do know that. You know, it's probably kind of hard to say let Exira and Audubon combine, and then all of a sudden they're big enough to be an A school because they have all these kids, and you keep them an eight-man. But if you move them up, what you're doing is you're forcing a school to redo their football field, and for how long? Because for a lot of those schools, they're still getting smaller anyway.
Yeah.
And are they going to eventually then have to move that 11-man field back down to an eight-man field? So can you find a way to allow them to combine and still allow them to be an eight-man school? I don't know. That would be interesting, and that would be a Chris question.
And here's my question. Is this the year where they reclassify, or is that next year?
That would be after this year.
Yeah.
So it would be after this season that they reclassify.
So we'd get new football schedules and all that stuff, you know, with new districts and stuff like that. So I didn't know if you looked at it that way and Exira wanted to join with somebody, you know, they're probably not moving them up specifically this year, or they might have to wait a year. But, you know, after the summer season, they're going to redo all that stuff because they do it every 2 years.
Yep. So, and, you know, it's going to impact. I know Audubon played Exira last year in football, so, you know, Audubon's going to have to now find somebody to play, you know, and pick up a game somewhere, as, you know, several other schools, because Exira's not the only one that's, you know, now not got, you know, a football team for this year. So
I will say this. Will they redo districts this year with it being the reclass? Because I thought that
it'll be after this season.
Yeah,
so it's after this season that they redo the districts and reclassify.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So, and then one thing I want to mention, too, on your point, Jeff, and I know all three of us have had this conversation before, that as much as parents might be upset of not having a varsity season, you know, their kids, you don't want to send kids that are not out there prepared to get hurt.
Yep. Absolutely. And in all sports, especially in football, injuries do occur. Mm-hmm. But there's a difference. Not all 14-year-olds are built the same. And not all 18-year-olds are either. But not all 14-year-olds, especially in football with such a physical sport, are going to be able to go out and compete against 18-year-olds. So if you're a really young team, sometimes it's better to play the JV schedule, allow them to be able to get some games in against kids more physically their size and physically developed like them. And, you know, you don't run the risk of getting injuries. You don't run the risk of, you know, I hate to put it this way, but if you go out and you get beat 80 to nothing every week, how many of those kids are going to go out and want to go out and go out the next season?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, because it's not fun when you go out and you get throttled all the time. And I think we need to look at that in all sports. You see so many of these really lopsided scores anymore. And you know, sports are struggling for numbers in a lot of places and a lot of sports. And you know, it's not fun, you know, for some of these kids that maybe don't love a sport but are out to hang out with their friends. It's not as much fun when they're getting beat. And I know some coaches will tell you, it's not my job to make the other team better. They've got to do that. But guess what? They're not getting better. And if you want to save the sport that you love, maybe you need to look at how you're handling those games in those situations. So
yeah, I 100% agree. Talk at men's and women's college basketball. Final Fours both set for those coming up. Do I even want to know why Mason just gave you a weird look?
Well, just Mason, what were you talking about last week when we were in here?
I don't know. I was talking about, you know, I was first in the bracket challenge, and then Let's just say some unfortunate things happened and somebody else in this room is first in the bracket challenge.
We won't say who, but it's not Casey.
Me.
Yeah.
It's not me.
I probably will not win it. Right now, so it's me in first with Josh Dietrich in second, but he lost to Duke, and I do have Arizona to win it. Tom Hawkap sitting in third, Derek Tigason in fourth, and then Casey, you're in fifth. Nick Brinks has moved up to sixth, Keith Wagner and Randy Beas in seventh, Eric Yelly in ninth, and then you got a host of guys in 10th place. I'm still scrolling to try and find Mr. Nealon. Oh, yeah, there he is, down in 18th place, you know, and stuff. He's kind of buried down towards the basement. But he is lucky enough that he's got Arizona still alive. So if they would end up winning the national championship, he'll finish somewhere in the top 10, probably 8th or 9th or something like that. But the way I've been able to look and break it down is Tom Hawkap, to me, is probably in the best shape. Even though I've got three of my final four teams left, my other finalist besides Arizona was Florida. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the Iowa Hawkeyes have to be the team that hurts me there, of course. But Tom's got UConn against Arizona in the finals.
Oh,
so
really?
So if UConn beats Illinois and Arizona knocks off Michigan, Tom's probably claimed the championship with that and stuff. So if Arizona and Illinois face in the championship, I pretty much lock up the title. And then if Michigan knocks off Arizona in the Final Four, Derek Tigason possibly wins it. It depends on how that UConn game goes, because Tom is ahead of him right now. Tom could end up staying ahead of him if UConn beats Illinois and then UConn beats Michigan for the national title. Tom could still end up. So that's kind of
I just know I don't have a chance.
Down. Yeah. No. And who do you have again?
I had Arizona. And Duke in my final.
Yeah. So you'll finish top 10 if Arizona wins the whole thing. The nice thing is there's no way I can fall below the guy that's sitting over to my left who talked and talked and talked before the pool about how bad he was going to beat me. So makes me feel pretty good.
So I saw somebody put something out on Twitter the other day, and it was after the Final Four got picked and all that stuff for the men's.
Yep.
They said, you know, because the NCAA has been looking at some way to spice up the tournament a little bit.
Right.
He said he thought it'd be interesting if they went through and after the first weekend, you reseeded the 16 teams.
Right.
And then, therefore, you know, because then you wouldn't come into the situation where you've got, you know, probably the two best teams that are left. In
right.
Michigan and Arizona playing each other, they'll play in the national championship game, that would more than likely potentially be your national championship game.
Yep. Yeah. The only thing, I guess I look at it this way, I think Michigan and Arizona are the two best teams. But I've seen it before where people get, it happens in football too, that semifinal round game, that's the national championship. Whoever wins that one, they ain't going to have any problem winning the national title. And then the team that comes out of the other side comes in and says, hey, don't forget about me. I'm here because I'm a good ball club.
Who would have thought that UConn would have came back against Duke when they were down big? You know?
Yep. I had them picked to beat Duke, so I was really happy. I don't like UConn. Dan Hurley is a heck of a good coach.
Yeah.
Not going to say I always like his antics, but heck of a good coach. So, and then on the girls' side, we can't forget about the women's bracket. Keith Wagner right now in first, Josh Dietrich in second, Josh Cervani in third, Tom Peterson in fourth. Interesting thing, he's the only one with UCLA. Everybody else that's got a champion left has got UConn. So Tom could end up winning the women's bracket if UCLA ends up winning the championship. The funny thing about that, Mason was already raising his hand. I think he's got a comment on it. But Tom could win the women's, but where's he at in the men's?
About the same place I am in the women's.
So Tom is guaranteed last place in the men's bracket. He doesn't have anybody left in the Final Four. He is currently sitting in the basement of the bracket challenge on the men. So Tom, or anybody that knows Tom, because I know he's probably busy right now and not able to listen, but Tom, we've got a nice toilet trophy for you for finishing in the basement of this year's bracket challenge. You will be able to sit that proudly on your desk at school or your mantle at home for a year, and we will deliver that to you here one of these days so that you can enjoy it. We might only make him have it for a half a year because the guy to my left is probably going to finish in the basement of the women's bracket.
I know I was there for a while.
I picked Iowa, and let's just say Iowa let me down.
Yeah, well, if UConn loses in the Final Four to South Carolina, then the people behind you currently probably won't be able to gain on you. So you might not finish in the basement, but yeah, that Iowa pick was that Iowa pick was, but you know, not for the women's probably. They were a really good team, but
I picked Iowa to have a run in both brackets, and only one of them worked.
Yep. So
only the men's worked for you to have them on that big run. We're getting close to time ending here for you guys on a KCIM Sports Rewind. That'll wrap us up. You can check out a podcast of this coming up. Just a minute. Jeff's got something.
I do want to add, we've changed up our Brinks Exterior Sports Report on the website and stuff, and I'm kind of excited about it. We still type up all the results, but instead of typing like a recap story, Mason and I, depending on the sport and the gender that night, and it'll rotate through us. But we do an audio recap of the night. So, you know, if you want to listen to it like it's a podcast, you can kick it on. It's right on the top of the page above all the results on the Brinks Exterior Sports Report page. So it's an audio recap of the night before with a few extra details thrown in there and stuff. And then if you miss anything, you can still scroll down. But the Brinks Exterior Sports Report looks just a little bit different than what it's been in the past. And Mason, what are you thinking of it after we've done it now for two nights?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of it. It saves a little time, so it makes it a little bit easier for us to kind of go throughout our night and get it done. But at the same time, it's, you know, when we would type, we would just type champions, first place, second place, third place. But when you're talking about it, it goes a little faster, so it allows us to do kind of that top six or top eight, depending on the meet.
Yep. So, and we'll do that for all of the different sports. That's kind of how we're going to recap the Brinks Exterior Sports Report. You'll still get, like in basketball, you'll still get the box score. You'll still get all of the stats for all the area kids. But instead of a story, you'll get like a little breakdown of the game on an audio report for that night. So,
hey, there you go. That's new stuff coming to the scene. Check them out at sports.1380kcim.com. Catch us at a new time next week. You've been listening to KCIM Sports Rewind here on this Tuesday.
Western Iowa's news and classic hit station is 1380.